And I'll put up the study. Let's see, where did it go? Where is the study? Is this it?
No, just down there. There it is.
There it
Right
is.
there.
There you go. We're going to blow the trumpet right now and summon the congregation. And I am looking for them. They're supposed to be coming today. We are supposed to have guests today. And maybe they didn't hear the trumpet, but anyway, I might have to stop blowing that trumpet outside. Anyway, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chad, Echad BeMashiach, just part of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael, and Shabbat Shalom. We have a nice little study for you today. I think you'll like it, I hope. And then later on, we want to read more about it because there's lots to dissect today. So anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master and Creator of the universe, the Creator of all things, we just thank and praise you, Lord and God, that you see us and you cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from you, Father. I pray today that you'll bless this day, this Shabbat, as we approach your seventh month of God, Ha'etanim. I pray you'll bless it and bless the study, make it be fruitful for everyone. I pray you'll touch everyone today with a special healing upon their bodies and spiritually, Lord and God, touch us all and give us revelation of your word and understanding of different matters and right decisions and discernment in different situations. Bless and anoint that this Shabbat help us, protect us, put your angels round and about us, caution us from any evil. And we thank and praise you for the joy you give us and the happiness and for everything you do in our lives, Father God, knowing that we just have this short life and we try to do as much as we can for you. And we just love when you bring people before us that we could even say anything about your feast and holy days and your Sabbath. And I just pray that someone would listen and join us. Bless and anoint this day, and may everything be to the glory of the living God and to the edifying of every person that hears this message. In Yeshua's name, we thank you for the blood of Yeshua. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are today on September 12th, 2015, and we're getting a little touch of fall. Fall starts this month, doesn't it? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So, yeah, the 21st is the official day of fall, but we have a little touch right now. It's only 67 degrees, and it's nice and cool outside. I'm sure Louise likes that. And today, anyway, today is September 12th, 2015. Of course, you guys already know about September means the seventh, but now it's the ninth month. However, we're in the sixth month of God, and it's the 27th day. So a few more days, and it'll be Rosh Chodesh, and it'll be the seventh month of God, Etanim. And while the rest of the world is going to be saying, still saying September, Judaism will be saying Tishrei, some Messianics will be saying Tishrei, we'll be saying Ha'etanim. That's just a few days from now, and it'll be the memorial of the blowing the trumpets, and which is a Sabbath. Anyway, there's the verses that prove it's Elul. You guys know my ministry by now, people that are here. For the people that are going to listen to this in the future that don't know us, my ministry is a teaching ministry. Try to bring up subjects and topics, maybe that you're not familiar with the average Bible teachings that you're familiar with, but I like to bring up different things that undelete some things in the world that have been covered and try to bring it to focus your real life. Anyway, you could actually listen to my subjects, you could hear them, you could watch them, you could download them, okay? And we're supposed to have some guests today. You never know. They might pop in, you know? You never know. Anyway, we're streaming on the internet. We're streaming right there. And I always like to be scheduled in. I haven't got too many invitations lately. But anyway, that's okay. There's a link there that will tell you what that entails. Just click on that. And there's all the, you guys already have the dates of the holy days, and it might be the 15th or the 16th when that starts. So, and this is the breakdown. You can always read that later if you don't know about that yet. But today's topic is, I wanted to get to today's topic, is the Son of Man comes with clouds. That's really important to remember. He cometh with clouds. And he's called the Son of Man. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, I want to say Shabbat Shalom. What I'd like to say is, you know, I know there's a lot of talk on the internet, and right now we're connected on the internet around the world. So even though there's just a few people here, we don't know who's listening to us around the world, and we're streaming live. But everyone's talking about September 13th and the 28th, or whatever near future date is not the, I want to let you make sure you understand, it's not the return of the Lord, and it's not the end of the world, and it's, you know, in 2015. I know there's a lot of things on websites right now trying to get people to buy their books and their DVDs, and it's the end of the world, and the market's going to crash, and the dollar is going to change, and all this kind of nonsense. But these are the two verses that they use all the time, which is in the book of Joel, chapter 2, 28. It says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days where I pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke." And here's where they got everyone nervous now. The sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Jehovah come, Jehovah, or the Lord. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Jehovah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Jehovah had said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call." Now, what they keep missing is that prophecy in Joel was fulfilled in the book of Acts. Remember when Peter said, "These men are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids," in other words, he's quoting Joel verbatim, okay? And he says the same exact thing. But this happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Remember when all the Jews from all around the world went to Jerusalem, which was the Feast of Weeks, known as Pentecost, because Pentecost means 50, and the Feast of Weeks is 49 days plus one day, 50. But most people don't know that. They think they got so many different thoughts on that, but they don't read the Bible. They don't see what the Bible says. Now, what I'm trying to get at is this. That was all fulfilled in Acts. Now, I just want to make sure everybody understands, if God turns the moon into blood, it's going to be blood. And it's going to be an amazing one-time event. It's not going to be a shade of yellow or red or orange during an eclipse that happens all the time. I know John Hagee and these false ministers are got everybody going on the tetrads and the moon, all this nonsense. The moon's never turned to blood. That's just a shading of the eclipse with the sun, the moon, and the earth. You know, it's never turned to blood. This is talking about the moon's going to turn to blood. You know, that's totally different than a shade of orange or a shade of yellow. And that's what the scientists even say that. Now, as far as an asteroid hitting us, scientists say right now there are no asteroids around that's going to hit us, okay? Even the scientists know that, and they have gigantic telescopes that they know where every asteroid is, and they know where everything's at this moment. Now, maybe millions of years in the future, or maybe whenever they say, an asteroid might come closer, but not today. You don't have to worry today, okay? As far as these people on the internet, messianic rabbis, don't listen to messianic rabbis, because, first of all, when you hear the word messianic rabbi, that's a direct prohibition of Yeshua, the Messiah. He said, call no one rabbi. No one's your master. Rabbi means master, doesn't mean teacher. In Hebrew, the word morah and morei is a teacher. Paul was a teacher. Peter was a teacher. So, again, these guys on the internet, just don't be tricked by their beards and their apparel they wear. But as far as the Shemitah, the year of release, first of all, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I hear people on the net and I hear people on TV, you know, they're saying the Shemitah is coming, you know, the year. The Shemitah, it means release in Hebrew, and that's a good thing. It's not a it's not a bad event. So I don't know. But they're selling their books, and they got the this one guy wrote a book. It's called the the Harbinger. That's the name of these speakers, the Harbinger. And he's got everybody buying his book, and he's got everyone in nervous and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, now as far as the market collapsing on September 13th, first of all, that's Sunday. Markets are closed. So that's not happening, okay? So that's another false, scary nonsense that's going around in the world. And they got the dollar's going to change, and the currency's going to change, and all this kind of stuff. Now, we all have to be honest. First of all, if you look out, if you know any current events in the world, which I keep contact with current events and I review what's going on in the world, I do not see where all the world is united as one. Do you?
No.
Could you say the world united as one?
No.
There's not going to be a one world currency tomorrow, because I don't think anyone could agree with each other. There's not a one world religion right now because, as you know, there's religions killing other religions and everyone's against each other. And even around here, the 2,000 churches don't even agree with each other. So that's not happening yet. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. There's no one world government right now when all the governments are against each other. So that's not happening right now. I mean, let's face it. If you just look at current events, it's not happening now. I'm not saying in the future, maybe after I'm gone, maybe down the road, might happen, one world everything. Not today. There's no one in 100% agreement with each other. I mean, that's just a fact. You can't go by Judaism calendars because their calendars are off 250 years. That's an error. Everything I see that's being predicted right now, and I gave you a lot of the predictions last year on the net. Remember all the last week? All these people prophesying all these different things that are going to happen. And, you know, that's been going on forever. People have been trying to use scare tactics and sell their books and magazines and their DVDs now and CDs. I think CDs are over, actually. But let's talk about the last days, okay? And I mean the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Let's see, what does the Bible actually say about that? I always see that you don't even have to worry about the end of the world, or, you know, because there's events that have to take place before that. There's a procession of events. First, you have to see the Antichrist, the Anti-Messiah, is going to be revealed first. Right now, there's no Antichrist. Now, there's many Antichrists, that's different. But I'm talking about the one person that's going to run the world. There's no one person that's running the world right now, okay? And Peter tells us, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind." Don't be troubled. He said, "Neither by spirit or by word or by even a letter from us, that the day of Messiah is at hand." Don't let anyone trouble you. Nowadays, I can include, don't let anyone bother you with websites or news broadcasts or whatever. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, that day shall not come." And even he gives a clear description here. This is Peter, not me. He says, except, number one, there's a falling away first. That's an apostasy of true believers. Number two, what you have to watch for, the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. This is before the end of the world. So this hasn't happened yet. There's never been one person to run the world that I know of. And now there's been dictators and despots that try to take over, but they never ran the whole world. Because this person is going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God, he's going to sit, this is number three you have to wonder about, he's going to sit in the temple of God, or so-called God.
Did you say Thessalonians?
Excuse me, this is Paul, excuse me. This is Paul in Thessalonians, not Peter. Yeah, I'm sorry, this is Paul. You're right. Now, so the third element we're looking at right here, he has to sit in the temple of God. At this moment in time, There's not even, there is no temple in Jerusalem. It's been, was destroyed in 70 AD. So, but right now, as we're sitting here, they're dying to build the third temple in Jerusalem. Yep. Down the road in someone's life, not today. Okay? So, this couldn't even happen yet because there's no temple. Even if it's a fake temple set up by the Lubavitch Judaism. Okay? But this person, when he shows up, he's going to show himself that he's God. And Paul says, remember you not when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withhold it, that he's going to be revealed in his time. We know the mystery of iniquity in the world already exists, okay? Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. So God's the one who lets, and one of these days he'll be taken out of the way, okay? And the wicked is going to be revealed, whom the Lord is going to consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, he's not in Jerusalem when he comes back, his brightness. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, some people might read this and go, yeah, Satan, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's churches around that worship Satan. So there's a real entity, a real power of darkness that we're cautioned by Apostle Paul when he talks to the Ephesians. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wicked in high places. And, you know, what's deceiving about that is, you walk down the block and you go, well, it looks like just a nice day. What do you mean spiritual wickedness in high places? Well, there's a whole spiritual realm that's going on as we're living in the physical realm. And that's what we believe. And this guy is going to show up with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And this is the part that comes from the book of Isaiah. Now, you may not believe this, but the loving, sweet God that everyone thinks, he's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, if you believe a lie, you're lost because you're believing a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's written, Paul gets that from the book of Isaiah, okay? I can show you that later if you like. And then he goes on to say, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had chosen you from the beginning. God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, brethren and sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, which is a letter, or our website today. Don't be shaken in mind. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not, let's face it, if you do a little tracking of history, we see the market corrects itself every 6, 7, or 8 years, and then it goes back. That wasn't the end of the world years ago, was it? Asteroids... I mean, you know, there's millions of asteroids floating around. They're just not in our trajectory right at the moment. They're not focused at us, okay? Maybe down the road in life. So there's nothing really to get that excited about because you get excited when you see the Antichrist. Then you get excited. Get excited when you see the third temple being built. That's, I would say, then you start getting a little excited. And get excited when, when they say peace and safety, okay? Okay, so anyway, now Lord Yeshua the Messiah himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So let's talk a little bit about the abomination that makes desolation, that makes desolate. You ever hear of that? Okay. The abomination of desolation that appears first before the coming of the Lord and the end of all things. This is going to happen somewhere in someone's life. And the only reason I know this is going to happen in someone's life, it's just like the flood when Noah preached for 100 years. He prophesied there was going to be a flood to drown the world because of the sin of man, right? So because of that, that is provable by scientists and archaeology. I know that it's provable there was a deluge that covered the world. They found shale rock on the highest mountain peaks. They know you could look at the Grand Canyon, and I believe that was created by the flood. But anyway, that's my own thoughts, and many other places. So because of that same word, I know that this is going to happen in someone's lifetime. But that's in the future, not today. He says, in the book of Matthew, Yeshua says, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Remember that in Matthew 24? So what I did was I went to the book of Daniel. And this is the last verse in chapter 9. He, which we believe is the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And when you read that in the Hebrew, it's 7 years. And in the midst of the week, which is 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Some fancy words there, but that just means that there's a procession of events that have to transpire, and it has to be, God has his own eschatology, not the ones that the Protestants made up. I mean, if you listen to them, the world should have ended a gazillion years ago, and every year the world's ending in 2000. Remember the year 2000? That was the end, and everything's the end. Daniel 11 says, if you study Daniel, it says, "An arms shall stand on his part," which I believe is the anti-Messiah, "and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate." So, you know, you wonder, what is that abomination that makes, what is that? And then we read in Daniel 12, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble," just like it talks about in Matthew, "such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time," thank God, praise the Lord, "up, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." So there is a book with your name in it if you are keeping the commandments of God, you know. If you're not, there's so many people deceived right now, even right now. "And many of them that sleep in the dust." And what that means, it doesn't mean your soul is sleeping in the dust or your spirit. Everyone that has died, of course, we go back to the dust. Your spirit goes back to God who gave it. "Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So there's everlasting both ways. A lot of people don't like to hear that. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." But this angel told Daniel, "Shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased," which right now knowledge is definitely increased. "And Daniel looked," he says, "then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, 'How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?'" This is interesting right here. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he sware by him that lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half." That's 3.5 years. Okay? "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, and I understood not. Then said I, 'O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?' And he said, 'Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are sealed up, and the words are closed and sealed up till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked are going to understand, but the wise shall understand.'" Now listen to this. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away," you might say, what daily sacrifice? Well, Lubavitch Judaism right now is going to build a third temple down the road. They already have all, I've been to Israel, and they've already got all the outfits for the so-called false Levite priests already created, and they got a lot of things built for the third temple. It could be a prefab kind of thing. I don't think it would be long for them to do it. They just have two obstacles, the two mosques that are right on the Temple Mount, which will be, that's down the road in someone's life. "From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there's going to be 1,290 days," right? That's 3.5 years. Or, you know, a little more, something like that. He says, and he says, "Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 years. That's, you have to wait 45 days more for some reason. But he tells Daniel, but go your way, Daniel, because it's not in your time till the end be. It says, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. So I could honestly say, I don't believe this is going to happen in my lifetime. I'm only 61 right now, but I don't know. I mean, I doubt this is all going to take place in my life. It will take a pretty amazing events in the world for a person to show up with world peace and everyone listen to it, to him. Anyway, we'll read about that in a moment. These verses below that I'm going to read to you, they do sound like an abomination that makes desolate that will be set up in the future, okay? We're going to read some more of this later, but I'm going to read this to you right now. This is Revelation 12, okay? This is an interesting little put-together study. There was a great dragon with the great dragon, you know who that is, the devil, that was cast out of heaven. Remember, there was war in heaven, which I one day when I meet God, I'd like to ask him about that. How in the world did that happen? You know, there was war in heaven. See, angels are created beings, and they could do right or wrong also. Unfortunately, the devil rose up, and he deceived many of the angels. That old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceives the whole world. And when the world is deceived, that's when the Antichrist will reign. Right now, not today. So in Revelation 13, he says, this is John, who's banished to the Isle of Patmos. He says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. So he's standing at the sand of the sea, right? Picture you that. And he sees a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Right? It's a pretty amazing thing to see. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Picture that. And the dragon, which I just told you who that was, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Right? And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. This is something that, some information here that we need to think about through a lot of the scriptures. So this one creature, this one head was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So that's something to ponder. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Right? So they got this beast. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him, again, this 42 months, which is 3.5 years. So this is the same person we're reading about in Matthew, in Daniel. And I only read you a few verses in Daniel, but there's many verses. And now we're over here in Revelation. Same thing. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Wow. Remember, we read that before. Scattered the holy people. We read that in the book of Daniel. And power was given unto him. Now, this is power was given unto this beast over all kindreds. That means all kinds of nationalities and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth are going to worship him. This has not happened yet, right? Nope. Whose names, it says, everyone that's going to worship this guy, whose names are not written in the book of life, which I talked about a few minutes ago, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So you have to make sure your name is in the book of life. And how do you do that? By repenting of your sins and keeping God's commandments, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the 7 Sabbaths and the feast, knowing about the feast, knowing about the first and second coming of the Messiah, and doing everything you possibly can in your life. Now, if you have ears to hear, I hope you hear. He that leads into captivity is going to go into captivity. If you kill with the sword, or whatever, you're going to die with the sword. You'll be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is the one you got to watch out for. He has 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. It's a false prophet, which is going to rise. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. And he caused it, the earth and all of them that dwell therein to worship the beast, the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. right? Pretty amazing stuff. It almost sounds like one of those movies on TV, you know? And this false prophet does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven and the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth. Now you wonder, this couldn't happen a long time ago, but nowadays this could happen because of telecommunications. I mean, telecommunications can connect the whole world, and the internet can connect the whole world. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and now is alive. They're going to make an image. So that would be an abomination that makes desolate, put in the temple there, down the road in someone's life. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That almost sounds like one of those monster movies or scary sci-fi things. But this is down the road in someone's life, so you don't have to worry today. Now, this is the problem. He caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's what it says. Now, I know a lot of people have different interpretations and a million different books have been written about that. But if you just take it at face value, let's go with that. It's just a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads that no man might buy or sell. So this person's going to have charge of, obviously, the one world currency, right? You won't be able to buy or sell only if you have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, whatever that means. And that's, again, up for everyone has a gazillion interpretations. But this face value, that's pretty interesting. Here's wisdom. Let him he that has understanding count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. And you could think about that in many ways. And his number is, obviously, we all heard of 666, right? 600, 666. Again, there's a million interpretations, and religious bookstores are full of books to buy, and it's everyone's opinion. I don't give opinions on this stuff. I just say, it's not revealed yet what that is. Because it's, you know, I can't give you an idea what that means. It does sound like it's the number of a man, right? Revelation 14 says, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any person worship the beast and his image, this is the image that comes alive, which sounds almost like unfathomable, you know, it sounds, you know, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same is going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So this all sounds like this, like, whoa, this is too much to even fathom. I mean, can you imagine any of this? But I mean, like, this is all going to happen in someone's lifetime. Now, the only thing I could think of is, like, you know, just think of World War II, you know, when Hitler was on the scene. I have no idea why he stopped when he was going to England. He could have took over the whole place, but for some reason he stopped. He ended up getting destroyed, right? So he's obviously an Antichrist, but not the Antichrist. But picture a person like that could have that presence. He deceived masses with this hypnotic way of speaking. I don't know, satanic way of talking. And it's a very scary thing because, you know, that's just a little inkling of a person's power that could take over masses. And, of course, Mao Zedong killed over 60 million people. And, you know, there's all kinds of characters through time that did a lot of horrible things. But this person in the future, so just by knowing those kind of people that can kill masses of people, picture, like, it's not that hard to imagine in the future another person showing up that's going to have power to do, you know, something on more of a drastic scale because of all the terrible things that these wonderful scientists have created, and I say that in a terrible way. There's lots of ways, you know, that's that. But this is down the road in someone's life, okay? Not today. Now, here's the part people don't like, and the smoke of their torment is going to send up forever and ever. They're going to be tormented forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receives the mark of his name. So at that point in time, I don't know, I have personally never seen an amazing supernatural miracle in front of my eyes. I don't, maybe you have, I haven't, which is going to make you fall down and worship this beast. I mean, something drastic is going to happen that's going to deceive you, where you're going to fall, make someone fall down and worship the beast. I mean, you know, some kind of amazing something, right? Revelation 15 says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. In them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that have gotten..." Thank God, the victory over whoever at that time gets victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. He saw those people stand on the sea of glass having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses and the servant of God and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest." So, I read in the Bible, first of all, it never talks about the market crashing and all this nonsense, and even if it does crash, that's not the end of the world, and it's not nothing. And if the dollar changes, how are you going to recognize where the Messiah is? Is he in Jerusalem? This made-up millennial reign nonsense? No. Is he in the secret chambers? No. Is he somewhere hidden in the mountains? No. Well, it says right here, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus," which means friend of God, "of all that Yeshua," Jesus, "began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up." So the Lord did everything until the very day he was taken up. He was perfect. That it says, "After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So you have to believe the Bible is a true document, that these witnesses in the Bible, this actually happened. And I actually found other books, you know, that are external from the Bible, that even prove there was a Jesus that did some amazing things, which is unique to find, because that's all been deleted in the world, you know. But these people are true witnesses of infallible proofs, and they've seen him after he rose from the dead. So you have to believe that by faith. We have to believe it by faith, because we weren't there. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "We'll wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, 'You have heard of me.' John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, here's what I want to get to. "And when they therefore were," says, "when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?'" That's all they wanted. They were wondering, where's this king that's going to save us, you know? But that's not what it's all about. He goes, "And he said unto them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. But you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the utmost parts of the earth.'" Now, here's where the way you're going to recognize the Messiah, okay? "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up," and what happened? "A cloud received him out of their sight," which is more evidence of how the Messiah is going to return. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee,'" basically, "why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So he was taken up with a cloud. He's going to return with the clouds. And where does it say that to prove that? Well, let's go to Daniel again, 7:13. Daniel says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man." There he is. Comes with what? The clouds of heaven. "And he came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and they brought him near before him." Where else can we see that? Matthew 24. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then they shall, then of course all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn, of course, because they didn't repent. You know what? They're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 26, Yeshua said unto them, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Very important information here. Mark 13:26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He's not in Jerusalem. The only person that's going to be in Jerusalem is the Antichrist that all the people are going to flock and fall down to in the third temple when they build it in someone's lifetime. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. This is going to take a while. Mark 14:62, Yeshua said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power coming in the clouds of heaven. I know that's hard to imagine. It's pretty hard to imagine that every eye is going to see him. Could you imagine like God just splitting open the universe and every eye sees him in someone's lifetime? And the only reason I believe that is because of the flood. There was a flood. There was a Noah, and there was a deluge that covered the world. So by that same word, Peter tells us, you could believe this other stuff's going to happen. For as the lightning comes out of the east, you got to keep your eyes on the eastern skies and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he's coming in the clouds. Mark 13, let's read a little bit here. It's a lot today, huh? A lot of interesting thoughts. I'm just trying to ease everyone's thoughts. And I'm besides talking to you four, I know I'm talking to a lot of people right now behind the screen here on the internet around the world, whoever's watching me through this camera. And I know they see me. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see these manner of stones and what buildings are here? Jesus, Yeshua, answered, said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall be not thrown down. And that we could prove that happened. That happened in 70 AD. Titus destroyed the whole temple. Right now in Israel, they just have an outer wall. Everyone's putting notes in it and prayers and stuff like that. That's not the wall of Jerusalem. That's the outer wall. So Titus did that in 70 AD. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives and over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And of course, Yeshua just says it very simple. He said, He answered and said unto them, Take heed that no one deceives you. Because basically today I could say, don't make sure no one deceives you, because they just want you to buy their book or their DVD and get you all nervous for no reason. Many are going to come in Messiah's name and saying they are the Messiah. And they're going to deceive many. Matter of fact, in every religion right now, there's a Messiah. Islam has one. The Chinese have one. The Hindus have one. Everyone has their own fake Messiah. They're going to deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled. I know it's troubling, but just don't get too troubled. For such things must needs be, the end shall not be yet. Okay? So we've heard of wars through our whole life and even before we were around, right? And there's going to be wars in the future and there's going to be terrible things happen, of course, and they are terrible. I'm not trying to lessen the terror. What I'm trying to say, it's not the end of the world. Nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, and that has always happened, and it's going to happen, there's going to be famines and troubles. That's only the beginnings of sorrows, okay? So, still not the end. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you to the councils and in synagogues, and you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. That happened in the past, and I'm sure it's going to happen to us. And the gospel is going to be published among all nations. That's pretty interesting, because I know even through the internet, you could reach all nations with the gospel, the true gospel, even though there's a lot of fake ones. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Don't even premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given to you, given you in that hour, that speak you. For It's not you that speak with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, here's the part you got to worry about a little bit. Now, the brother is going to betray the brother to death. Really? And the father is going to betray the son. And the children are going to rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Wow. Of course, that says that in the prophets, and it says it in the other parts of the gospel. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. I bet. Because I bet I could see that if the whole world's taking the mark to buy and sell, otherwise you can't eat, right? Without, you can't get any food. And if you don't take the mark, you're going to be probably labeled a terrorist, right? Something or something terrible, because you're the only ones that are not taking it and everyone else is doing it. So it might turn a different way. And you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. It says, but he that shall endure to the end, and that's the end of the world or the end of your life, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation, he says it right there, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. And I keep thinking such an abomination would be for this false prophet to resurrect this statue and to make it come to life in this future temple, if that's what's going to happen. That would be such an abomination. Let him that read understand. Then if that happens, you better flee to the mountains if you're in Jerusalem, because the Antichrist is right there in the third temple. Let him that's on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. That means you better just get out of there, wherever you are. But let him that's in the field not return back again to take up his garment. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. That would be a horrible time to have a baby. And pray that your flight be not in this winter, and other gospel says neither on the Sabbath days. How come? For in those days is going to be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. So no matter what atrocities have ever happened in the world, this is going to be worse, which I can't imagine how it could be, but in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days. How would he shorten the days? I suspect he's going to come back. No flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he had chosen, he's going to shorten the days. And, of course, what's going to happen is they're going to say to you, here's the Messiah, although there, don't believe it. There's false prophets and false messiahs shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed. Behold, I have foretold you. So he's foretold us, and I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, actually, besides you. But in those days, after the tribulation, yeah, this world's going to go through a big, giant tribulation. The sun's going to be darkened, and the moon's not going to give her light. The stars of heaven are going to fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power, great power, and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the utmost part of the earth to the utmost part of heaven. So he tries to say this real simple. Now learn a parable, which is a small story to make you understand, of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh, right? Everybody knows that. We have a little fig tree. When it starts blooming, we know summer is coming, right? So in like manner, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation, he's talking about the generation that sees these things, shall not pass till these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word's not going to pass away because it's so sure. God's word is sure. But of that day, and this is to make, I don't know, I guess this should give you a little comfort. Forget about everyone's books and DVDs and whatever. But of that day and that hour knows no man. Okay? So that's why you never hear me give you a date or any kind of baloney prophecy of the, you know, I just say it's going to happen somewhere in the future. But these people that are saying, you know, September 13th and September 28th, and they're saying things right now, it's the end of the world. They're actually saying, the one person says the universe is going to be dissolved. But what about all the prophecies and all the things that have to transpire? They forgot about the whole, everything in the Bible. No one knows that day. No man, not even the angels which are in heaven, not even Yeshua when he was on the earth knew that day. Only the Father knew it. Okay? Of course he knows now. So take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Right? And that what that means basically is, in your life, little lifespan God gave you, whatever, how long it is, you could just watch and look, watch current events, see what's going on. You know, you keep a track of everything. And, you know, I don't get excited until I see the third temple being built and the Antichrist. And I see, start seeing, I hate to say it, world peace. Why was it when you see peace and when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction? So I don't get too scared when there's wars and this, you know, I know there's going to be always atrocities and despots and dictators and all kind of characters and religions, you know, they're killing each other and everyone's fighting. I hate to say it, but that's just part of the world we live in. But that's not the end of the world. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a long, far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So we watch, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Right? It says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So you have to watch. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Okay? So that's the end of my study for today, and I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that gives a little solace, a little comfort in your life of all these things that are going on in the world. Let me stop this. I don't know what that is. Stop that. And let's see what's going on here with all the people listening to us. Oh, I see poor James has got a red dot. Let me take that off. And there's people on around the world listening, wherever they are. Let's see. But anyway, I want to thank you for being here today. I hope this study meant something to you. Don't get too excited that things are going on in the world. And there are, you know, some things to take note of course, and be aware of. But at the same time, it's not the end. I'm talking about the end, and it's not the, you know, it's not the coming of the Messiah. So anyway, Shabbat Shalom, and may God be with you, and may God give us all more revelation and understanding of his word, and may God protect us all in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop the video right now. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there in cyberspace, whoever you may be. So that's over. And I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to stop the audio.